Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Say Zayt, it's Friday, April 24th. I'm Steven Masso. As always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be recapping the first round of the NFL draft. Of course, as Dolphin fans, there is a lot to be excited about. You must have had a great, terrific night if you're a Dolphins fan, more than likely. I think it seems to be the consensus that people are very, very happy with the night that just occurred. But we're also going to be going over the whole thing. But before we get into it, I know this is a Dolphins-focused podcast. I'm going to run through the Dolphins' three picks in the first round, kind of give my thoughts on those, and then we'll dive in, kind of speed through the rest of the draft. And I'll have an opportunity to kind of speak on some of the other players, because there were some other notable, draftees, Henry Ruggs, Jordan Love, things of that nature. But first, we begin with the Miami Dolphins. With the fifth overall pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins selected out of Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. And for many Dolphin fans, this was exactly the scenario you were hoping for. Not only were the Dolphins able to get Tua, they were able to get him without trading up. They were able to hold on to that draft capital. They were able to make those two other first round picks, but they were able to get a guy who doesn't just have the talent on paper, because every year there are guys who come out with all these notables. They have, you know, terrific arm strength. They have, you know, terrific mobility. They're great at moving around. They're very big framed, stuff like that. But there are only a handful of guys in every draft, and sometimes there's not even a single guy in the draft that have that it factor, that have those leadership qualities, that have that poise, that moxie, that ability in big situations to show up and have the team rally around him. And Tua is that guy. Aside from Joe Burrow, it's hard to make an argument for another quarterback that has that it factor the way that Tua does. Tua has had this since a young age. Trent Dilfer was saying back in high school that this guy is just one of the best quarterbacks he's ever seen. He delivered in college, winning the national championship at such a young age. And then despite a horrific injury, all the reports on him from a health standpoint say that he looks pristine, that there is nothing that's going to hold him back. And, you know, as significant as the injury is, this is a chance that the Dolphins had to take. They could have gone Herbert, you know, a guy who is a sort of a project quarterback in my eyes. He has all the tools on paper, but whether he converts into that guy that has the it factor is left to be seen. Of course, I love the pick. I think it's terrific. It is the opposite, and I mentioned this on the Dolphins Talk podcast. I think if the Dolphins didn't have Ryan Tannehill, they had a quarterback like, you know, a Drew Brees per se, and his time just ran out, maybe the Dolphins would be a little bit more understanding to the idea of getting a quarterback that, you know, maybe doesn't have that it factor, but has all the tools to be a good quarterback. But the thing is, they had Tannehill, and not to continuously bash on him, he was, you know, a pretty average guy. He never really showed the it factor. He didn't really have that leadership quality that teams want from their quarterback. And to me, getting Herbert would have been a lateral move. It would kind of have the potential to just be more of that. At least if Tua flames out, you don't have that regret that you potentially passed on a guy who is viewed as somebody who could be an elite talent in this league. So those are my thoughts on that. I was lucky enough to be included in a Zoom meeting with Tua after the draft, and the guy was glowing. It may not have shown, on the camera during the draft, his reaction, but the guy could not stop smiling during the Zoom meeting. Was just absolutely ecstatic to be coming to Miami. He delivered some great quotes. Among those, he said that it was an emotional moment, and it wasn't just emotional for him, but his whole family. He said it wasn't just his dream, but it was his whole family, and he carries his family with him wherever he goes. You can tell there is a very strong bond and a very strong relationship between him and his family. Now, other things he said, of course, people are very curious about the number 13. That's his number in college. Of course, that number is retired here due to Dan Marino and his legendary career with the Dolphins. He said that he doesn't care what number he gets. It could be number 78, it could be number 99, doesn't matter. He's here to play ball. He doesn't care what number he gets, and that was his answer on that. Now, as to whether he will be competing for a starting role, that is when we also had the opportunity to speak with Brian Flores. Brian Flores did a good job at reminding us what the country, not only the country, but the world is facing. They are facing this coronavirus outbreak. There's a pandemic. There is a very serious issue on the forefront of everyone's mind. It's still too early to be talking about whether Tua will be competing. And he also said that, you know, he hasn't had an opportunity to see him yet, that it's far too early to speculate what Tua's role is going to be in the 2020 season. That is what Brian Flores said. And then as for Chris Greer, he said that they did go around and, you know, discuss some trades. They did reach out to the Bengals about Joe Burrow. They said they did like Joe Burrow as well. But when it came down to it, they really liked Tua. They felt really comfortable here. They thought he fit well, and they thought he would be a great asset. So those are all terrific things to hear if you were a fan of the Dolphins going after Tua. People dug up some of Tua's old tweets. He had a ton of great things to say about Miami. He said the Dolphins throwbacks would be the best uniforms in the league if they went back to it. That's already a major plus. He tweeted Devontae Parker's rookie year, that he would be the best rookie in his draft class. That's another major plus. There is just a lot of things to love about Tua. And just from a personal standpoint, his character is just through the roof. He is, you know, just as likable as they come. Definitely a great guy to have be a cornerstone for your franchise, somebody that's going to be a terrific addition to the organization. Now we go on to the Dolphins' next pick, and that is Austin Jackson, the offensive tackle out of USC. Now this is a pick that had a lot of people, you know, a little bit on the fence. Some people didn't necessarily love this pick. He is not somebody that was regarded near the top of this draft class. There was, of course, that kind of tier, that upper echelon guys, including Tristan Wirfs, including Mekhi Becton, including Jedrick Wills, and including Andrew Thomas. He wasn't in that category, but he was kind of in the second tier below it, so it wasn't necessarily one of these top tier guys. But the thing about him is he's 20 years old. They say he may not have an impact immediately for the Dolphins, but a 20-year-old guy, you can tell the Dolphins are still, right now, they're not playing necessarily for this 2020 season. They are thinking about success in the long term. If they could get this guy, I trust Brian Flores and his staff's ability to develop players. This guy could be a long-term, you know, positional plug here for the team, and I think that's what they're looking at. You looked at free agency, and you looked at the moves they were making. They were getting guys who were still young, guys who hadn't hit their prime yet. And I'm a firm believer, if you're waiting to throw a big contract at a guy who has already hit his prime, then you were probably too late. The Dolphins were looking at guys who still have their best yet to come, and I love that approach that they're taking with the team. Now, when it comes to their last pick of the first round, this one is interesting at the 30th pick because they traded down with the Green Bay Packers. They got a fourth round pick and the 30th pick in return. This is where they drafted the defensive back out of Auburn, Noah Igbinoghene. And this was a guy that in the mock draft, if you listen before, I had him going to Kansas City around the 30th pick. So it wasn't that far off. I don't think that he is near that, you know, top tier of the defensive backs, because there is quite a gap when it comes to, you know, the upper guys who are taking like Okuda and Henderson and Gladney and those guys. But he is a very talented guy. He has a lot of great tools. His parents were both Olympians. The guy is about as fast as they come, terrific on special teams, very, very physical, could be a terrific plug-in and play at the slot corner. And I think Simon Clancy and Chris Kaufman, they do the 3 yards per carry podcast, they made a terrific point on saying that, you know, the Dolphins aren't wasting a pick by drafting a guy who they see as a nickel corner. The way the NFL is trending, nickel cornerbacks are, you know, they could be out there just about every single play on defense, because you look at some of the teams around, of course, the obvious ones, the Chiefs, they have all those speedsters. You got Tyreek Hill, you got Sammy Watkins, you got Mecole Hardman, who could all be on the field at once. If you don't have a defensive back that could guard them, they are going to expose you very, very quickly. Now you look at the Cowboys just in this draft, they already have Amari Cooper, easy wide receiver one. You have Michael Gallup, who could frankly be a wide receiver one on a bunch of teams. And then they went ahead and they added CeeDee Lamb, who's another guy who could be a wide receiver one. The NFL is trending more towards this air attack sort of offense. It's very wise to stack up on defensive backs. Now, I also did an article right before the draft saying that could the Dolphins trade Xavien Howard? Now, it's a pretty lengthy piece, but I will just kind of go over it quickly. Now, first of all, I will say I'm a fan of Xavien Howard. I like the idea of having having a, you know, a very Legion of Boom-esque secondary. I'm not against that at all. So this isn't me, you know, pushing something that I want to happen. But I'm saying there is a possibility I think the Dolphins could look to trade Xavien Howard. And I say that because, of course, we know how good he was in 2018. But in 2019, the impression year he had to have on Brian Flores, he did not have a terrific year. He got torched by Amari Cooper in that performance. He got ejected for slapping someone's face mask. He went down with a knee injury and missed 3/4 of the season. Then the offseason comes around. He gets arrested for domestic battery. The Dolphins may be looking at Xavien Howard as somebody who's kind of, you know, maybe we should try to consider getting out of this contract. Now, of course, it's a massive contract. They cannot flat out cut Xavien Howard. It would be $20 million in dead cap. Just a horrible move. They could cut him after this season and it would be significantly less. But if they wanted to find a suitor to a trade, someone who would pick up that guaranteed salary, I warn you, it will be hard. The trade return would probably be very bad. But if they want to get out of that contract quick and kind of bet against the idea of Xavien Howard having a good year this year, then maybe they end up moving him. So those are my thoughts on the Dolphins picks from the first round. Overall, a great foundation. It is, of course, highlighted by the addition of Tua Tagovailoa becoming the quarterback. Just a terrific move. Like I said, I'm, you know, as excited as if it was Christmas morning. Just a terrific pick, that one alone. Very nervous, but overall a great one. Now, let's get into the draft, go through all the picks really quick. So this will be very, very simple reviews kind of these draft picks. The first one, of course, was Joe Burrow. This one's no surprise. They get the quarterback who had a historic college season from Ohio. This one was a no-brainer. It was about as easy as it comes. Now we get to the second pick. It was the Washington Redskins going Chase Young. Another one, no surprise here. You get arguably the most talented player. The only difference, he doesn't play the quarterback position, but still Aaron Donald-like potential, Jadeveon Clowney-like potential, true game wrecker, a great pick there. Now the Detroit Lions, they end up going Jeff Okudah. Another one that people would argue was the obvious pick, that the Lions lost Darius Slay, was a cornerstone of that defense for many, many years. They get Okudah here, who is, you know, is about as good as they come. Can tackle great, great footwork, great positioning. It's hard to find knocks on Okudah. This was another solid pick. Now the New York Giants, they end up going tackle. This was an approach that many people had their mock drafts, but there was that top tier of offensive tackles that people were kind of bouncing around which one would it be. Would it be Wills? Would it be Wirfs? Would it be Andrew Thomas? They end up going Andrew Thomas here, the tackle out of Georgia, after investing in a first-round pick with Daniel Jones a year before. 2 years before that, they went Saquon Barkley. They need to beef up that offensive line to really help those guys out. They did it here with that pick. Then Miami Dolphins, they end up getting Tua. You know how I feel about that. Sixth overall pick, we have the Los Angeles Chargers. They go with Justin Herbert. Frankly, a little bit shocked to see them not trade up to secure Herbert or to potentially go for Tua. They decide to sit tight. They get Herbert. As I said, he's kind of a guy that has great tools. You know, the arm strength is there. Very surprisingly mobile. A lot of people have critiques in regards to his leadership, whether he could rally a team around him. Still a solid asset as of right now. A good little project quarterback if there's the right tools around him. Carolina Panthers go for the best interior defense alignment here in Derrick Brown out of Auburn. Great player for the 8th overall pick. The Arizona Cardinals, kind of a gem, falls right in their laps. Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker slash safety out of Clemson. I said in the mock draft, people consider him kind of a refined version of Derwin James. We know how successful James was in his rookie season over there for the Chargers, so this could be a huge addition to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, we move on to the 9th overall pick. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars selecting C.J. Henderson, the cornerback out of Florida, a team that was once known for their defensive backs and Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye both being Pro Bowlers. They lose them both. They need to go out there and get some new corners. They do a good job picking up C.J. Henderson here. Now we have the Cleveland Browns, another one kind of like the Giants. We just didn't know which offensive tackle it was going to be, but we knew it was going to be one of them. They picked Jedrick Wills, a tackle out of Alabama. Baker Mayfield, as bad as he was, there's no denying that the offensive line was terrible for him. They have a great running back in Nick Chubb over there. They, of course, have terrific wide receivers. All they need to do is give Baker Mayfield some time. They get Jedrick Wills here. Great addition. Now we go to the New York Jets. New York Jets, a lot of talk whether it was going to be a receiver they take here or not. They end up taking tackle Mekhi Becton out of Louisville. Another solid addition here, especially when you invested in your quarterback the year before. I really like Becton. I thought he would go earlier than this. The Oakland Raiders, probably the first true shocker of the draft, is them drafting Henry Ruggs, the wide receiver out of Alabama. He was taken as a first receiver before Jerry Jeudy, before CeeDee Lamb. Henry Ruggs, of course, has absolute burners, 4.2 speed, just ridiculous speed. And I will say, the way the NFL is trending more, there's more penalties, more of a focus on safety, less physicality. This really opens the doors for some of these guys. The only way you can stop people now is if you get in front of them. It's hard to get in front of these guys who move so quick. Let's just say this way, if Tyreek Hill isn't as successful as he's been throughout his career so far, I don't know if Henry Ruggs is the first wide receiver taken in this draft, but the way that has looked, it showed that, you know, these short receivers, if they have the speed, that's a skill you can't teach, that they could end up being viable wide receiver ones in the NFL. He goes to the Oakland Raiders. Of course, Al Davis would have loved that move. He always historically went after the guys who had absolute burners. And at the 13th pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trade up a spot with the San Francisco 49ers. They have a 43-year-old quarterback by the name of Tom Brady. You need an offensive lineman there. Tristan Wirfs, the tackle out of Iowa. Now, 14th pick, San Francisco 49ers. I was very surprised that they didn't go wide receiver here. I thought Jerry Jeudy would have been an easy call. They go Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle out of South Carolina. Hard to knock on that pick. San Francisco 49ers defense continues to just get better and better. Then we get to the 15th overall pick. Here we have the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos go with the wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton has been performing like an absolute true wide receiver one. The numbers he's been putting up have been terrific, especially when he's been the only weapon there. You add Jerry Jeudy in there, a guy who could already be one of the top route runners in the NFL as a rookie. This is a definitely deadly duo for Drew Lock to have over there in Denver. Now, we move on to the Atlanta Falcons, who there were talks that they desperately wanted C.J. Henderson. They didn't get him. They go for A.J. Terrell, the cornerback out of Clemson. This one was a little bit iffy to me. A lot of people didn't have Terrell going this high in their mock drafts. I think there were better corners like Gladney, like Igbahogany, who were still available. I think this was a little bit of a reach, but time will only tell. We get to the 17th pick overall, the Dallas Cowboys. This is a true testament to just picking the best player available. The Cowboys, in my eyes, there's no sort of need at the wide receiver position, but CeeDee Lamb, true wide receiver one potential, the hands of Odell Beckham Jr., just a true phenomenal football player. It's hard to pass up on that, even if you're stacked at receiver. Miami had the pick after that, and I would have been ecstatic if they took him. They have Devontae Parker and Preston Williams. That just goes to show how good CeeDee Lamb is. We go to the 18th overall pick, Dolphins, Austin Jackson here. I discussed that already. 19th overall pick. Here we have the Las Vegas Raiders, and here they pick cornerback Damon Arnette, which was another bit of a head-scratcher out of Ohio State. This one was regarded as probably the most shocking and worst pick, a guy who is not that high on many people's boards at all. Kind of another shocker considering that the Raiders last year went for Cleveland Farrell so early and people were kind of scratching their head there. Maybe they have a different way of scouting. Maybe they know something we don't know, but this is a pretty shocking pick, one that I would not frankly be grading high by any means. At the 20th overall pick here, we had the Jacksonville Jaguars. They get Kalyvon Chaisson. Surprising he went this far. I think the Dolphins, if they were able to snag him, if there wasn't such a intense need at the offensive line, if there wasn't, you know, a quarterback like Tua who's had the injury issues, this would have been, you know, a home run out of the park addition. The guy is versatile. He could play on the edge. He can play coverage well. A terrific addition over there in Jacksonville. Then we get to the Eagles pick, which I had a close eye on. I have a good friend who is a big Eagles fan. The Eagles fan base has been crying out for a wide receiver for so long, and at the 21st pick, they end up going receiver, but it's also, it's a little bit of a head-scratcher. It's Jalen Reagor, somebody who I was very big on. I thought that he would be a great value pick towards the top end of the second round, maybe even late first for a team like the Packers, and I think the team like the Packers suit him more because they have a true wide receiver one, and while I won't say that Reagor can't be that, I view him more as a complimentary kind of smaller guy, kind of more of a safety valve sort of player. Whereas the Eagles need a true number one. I think Justin Jefferson from LSU could have been that. I think Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona could have been that. And they go with a guy who I think is more of a complimentary kind of player. Still, a guy that I like a lot, but with the other guys on the board, a pick that I didn't necessarily like there. The Minnesota Vikings at 22 just lost Stephon Diggs. They see Justin Jefferson still there. They must have been a little shocked that the Eagles didn't pick him. They go ahead and snatch him. That is terrific value over there, I think, for the Vikings, getting a pick like that, surprisingly, after the Eagles didn't do it. The Los Angeles Chargers, they get a pick from New England. They go with Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of Oklahoma. I think that is a very solid pick. They got their quarterback. They could invest in the defense. It's a very safe pick, I would say, for them. At 24, the New Orleans Saints go for Cesar Ruiz, the center out of Michigan. Now, this is good value. I think most mock drafts had him going around this area, but in the back of my mind, I was thinking that it was time the Saints would draft a quarterback. It is, a fact that this is Drew Brees' last season, more than likely. Why not just go and take that guy who could learn under him? They're going to pick up the knowledge from one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. If you add Jordan Love right here, that is a great backup or a great, cornerstone to have, but they didn't go that direction. At 25, next, San Francisco 49ers get a pick from Minnesota, and this is where the 49ers get their receiver, Brandon Ayuk, the guy who I said the Eagles should have got. Terrific after-the-catch ability. He runs with the football like it's a loaf of bread, like he doesn't even care about it, but sometimes those guys are the best with the ball in their hands. Really an electric player to watch, somebody that I really like. I do think all you need to do is just get him the ball somehow. Great addition to the 49ers, who desperately did need a wide receiver. At 26, the Green Bay Packers get that pick from Miami. And here is where probably, for most people, the highlight of the draft occurs. They picked Jordan Love. And there was such a huge emphasis around, when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers while they had Brett Favre. Around the same age, they go for Jordan Love. And I don't think this is any sort of, rush to get Aaron Rodgers out of there. I think, guaranteed at least two years of opportunity for Aaron Rodgers. I don't expect him to have any sort of down year that leads the Packers to questioning his ability, but this could lead to Jordan Love, who has is very much a project quarterback. He has a lot of assets and a lot of skills that could potentially make him one of the higher ceiling players, people would say Mahomes-esque. If you give him the opportunity to sit for a whole year, maybe even two, then who knows what he could really be. But what I worry from this is that it could cause some sort of chemistry disruption or cause some issues with Aaron Rodgers in the front office. There was an interview before the draft, and Aaron Rodgers was kind of hopeful that they would finally go out and get him a skill player on offense in the first round, because they hadn't done that in, over, I think, 5 years. Well, it didn't happen. And in fact, they went out and they got his potential replacement. Just a very odd move to do when Aaron Rodgers has done so much for the organization. 27, Seattle Seahawks. They go here, they get Jordan Brooks, the linebacker out of Texas Tech. Some would say this one's a little bit of a reach, but who knows. At 28, the Baltimore Ravens select Patrick Queen, the linebacker out of LSU. Some people had him very high on their boards, even higher than Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of Oklahoma. So this is a hard pick to knock against. The Ravens offense looked fine last year. You have, everywhere on the field minus a wide receiver on offense looks pretty set. They could focus on the defense. I cannot be mad at that pick. That was just best player available in my eyes. The Tennessee Titans, who lost Jack Conklin, end up getting Isaiah Wilson, the tackle out of Georgia. This was a very solid pick. You have Ryan Tannehill. As a Dolphins fan and follower, I can tell you that Tannehill needs the right tools around him to succeed. And, building an offensive line is the beginning of doing doing that. And then, of course, you have Derrick Henry, who the offense runs through. Beefing up the offensive line can never be a bad move in that situation. At the 30th overall pick, the Dolphins pick from Green Bay, Noah Igbahoghany. I gave my thoughts on that. We go to 31, the Minnesota Vikings pick from San Francisco. Here they get Jeff Gladney, the cornerback out of Texas Christian. And I was a little bit surprised to see him fall this far. I really think he was better than several other cornerbacks that were taken ahead of him. Of course, the Vikings, they ended up losing Xavier Rhodes, who was great for them for plenty of years. They get a very solid cornerback. I love the value here. I think that was a very good addition. Now, we get to the last and final pick of the NFL, first round of the NFL draft, and we get to the Kansas City Chiefs at 32. It looked like we were going to have the first draft since 2014 without a running back taken in the first round, but the Chiefs go ahead and they select Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back out of LSU. And you know, he did terrific in the national championship game. I think that put him on the map. A very patient style of running, Le'Veon Bell-esque, the ability to move in between tight windows and to bounce around, hard to get on the ground, always fights for a few extra yards. You know, a very powerful runner. And I like his versatility. I think he's a solid asset for the Chiefs. Frankly, I am a little bit surprised that he was the first running back off the board. I was leaning more with, you know, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, and Jonathan Taylor. I had him behind all of those guys, but he ends up being the first one taken. So I'm sure the Chiefs, you know, Andy Reid is a running back guru, whether it was, you know, Damian Williams, or whether it was Spencer Ware, whether it was Jamal Charles, whether it was, who am I missing? I'm missing the obvious one, Kareem Hunt. They all did terrific. In fantasy football, you always wanted to have a Chiefs running back. I'm certain that he will be productive in his rookie season, and they will find the right way to get him the ball. So that is the end of my recap of the first round of the NFL draft. And guys, I hope you liked the episode. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. Follow the podcast account, please, too, guys. That's at Via The Source. Leave a review on the Apple Podcast app. If you haven't already, that would help a bunch. And I did finally get the website up. If you didn't hear, I have viathesource.com. It is now live. It took me a ton of time to get it up. There's still a little bit of issues and, you know, kinks I'm trying to work out with the website, but I am putting written articles up there. And if you prefer getting your news in that way, you know, I'll do my best to continue updating through written articles as much as I can. Guys, as always, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso. This was Via The Source.